From Fork, South Carolina, to Holmes Mill, Kentucky, Americans await the fate of their post office. Last month, the Postal Service announced it'll close as many as 2,000 facilities starting in March, many expected to be in rural areas, although people will still get home delivery. This comes after a 20% drop in mail volume since 2007 and a loss of $8.5 billion last fiscal year. So here we are again. What to do with the Postal Service in the age of email and FedEx? Professor Richard Geddes is the Department of Policy Analysis and Management at Cornell University. He also served on the Council of Economic Advisors under George W. Bush. And Rick, let's remind people, the post office is a government organization. They've already reduced staff by a third. They're subject to congressional oversight, although they don't directly get taxpayer money. And they were created in the 1700s as a way to bind the country together.
Right, Robin. I think that the Postal Service served a critical national purpose earlier in its history. And the notion, in fact, in those days of binding the nation together was not necessarily handwritten personal letters as much as it was getting newspapers to states that were on the frontier. And states that may have felt less part of the Union were hopefully felt more bound together by receiving news. However, times have changed. Electronic mail and cell phone use are reducing the Postal Service's volumes, but I also believe that they're changing the nature of the public mission of the Postal Service so that it's now no longer clear that the Postal Service is binding the nation together when people are more likely to be bound together through alternative types of communication.
Or as you told Jonah Serra in the New York Times, it's silly to say we are now binding together the nation through advertisements and catalogs, which is what most people get in the mail. But then you read about 62-year-old Esther Sizemore of Holmes Mill, Kentucky, a retired school bus driver, doesn't have a computer, has arthritis, can't drive far, mails her homemade quilts at the little post office down the street where, by the way, she also sees people in her community that she wouldn't ever see. And that's not going to be an option for her if her post office closes. And this is, I'm gathering, what happens in Congress when people propose somehow changing the post office, is that you have those legislators who represent Esther Sizemore.
Absolutely, Robin, and I'm not going to in any way minimize the importance and the value of rural postal services. However, we have to, I think, look at the Postal Service within a broader picture. And the General Accountability Office estimates that the Postal Service's current unfunded liabilities run about $100 billion. Liabilities for the health care costs, the pension costs of retirees. And if the Postal Service cannot cover those costs through mail, then the taxpayer is going to have to pay those costs. So it's my view that we should really give the Postal Service the opportunities to cut back in the ways that it can.
So are you just saying make some changes, or are you in the camp that the Postal Service should be completely privatized?
Well, the word privatization actually means that you would try to sell the Postal Service to the public equity markets through an initial public offering.
I guess I'm saying, or just get rid of it and have companies put out bids to take over mail delivery.
I don't think it's a type of an entity that we would get rid of overnight.
Because people worry that that's going to happen.
But I think the less painful scenario is to slowly change the Postal Service to adapt to the electronic age.
So let's start with the suggestions, and one of them is fewer days of delivery.
You may recall that it's been a few years now, I suppose, that the Postal Service went to Congress and asked for the ability to cut back delivery from 6 days a week to 5 days a week. And Congress told the Postal Service that they could not do that.
The Post Office did go to Congress with that request to reduce days. They also argue that the network is outdated. They lobbied Congress to change the law that says that they can't close post offices just because they're unprofitable. And it's Congress that has fought this, again, because, let's say you represent 86-year-old Ruby in Prairie City, South Dakota. Her post office closed December 30th. She now drives 40 miles to get to a post office. I mean, there are lawmakers, Democrat Ken Conrad, who says, you know, I worry for the future of North Dakota's rural communities. What would be your suggestion for helping those communities?
Well, I think that at some level people have a responsibility to adjust to the new technology that everyone else is
using. Now hold on. These are the very communities that don't have broadband.
Okay. Well, I think that maybe a way of helping those communities to adjust, I think a lower cost solution rather than keeping the post office open forever would be to take whatever steps are necessary to help tie those communities in. But there are other things that the Postal Service can do, Robin, like asking postal workers to fund more of their own health care and retirement costs.
Let's stop and talk about that. How can we address the labor issues and the benefits issues when it sounds as if the post office has cut back on its employees by a third in 10 years?
I do think you have a very good point, Robin, which is that there's only a limited amount the Postal Service can do to cut back its delivery network and still deliver mail to all addresses a certain number of days per week. And I think that at some point we're going to have a true national debate on what it is we want from the Postal Service as a government entity.
Oh, joy, another national debate. By the way, I feel I need to say two things. One is that Cliff Guffey, president of the American Postal Workers Union, said his group needs to stop with grievances and instead focus on talking to Congress about changes for workers and retirees to keep the post office alive. And also, we have spoken to postal workers before who say that they provide another service. They're on the front lines in every community. They're the ones who call in fires that they see in homes. They save people that they see have collapsed.
Well, I think that there are some benefits, but again, it's a question of what price are we willing to pay. I don't believe that it's just a simple goal in and of itself to keep the Postal Service going. The Postal Service, because it's a government entity, must be serving some clearly defined, broader social purpose. And the question is, in an electronic age, what is exactly that broader social purpose?
What about only having the government serve people in rural areas and sell off everything in the cities and have that subsidize it somehow?
In New York City, you already have couriers. So within a fairly dense urban environment, you would get companies that would step in to serve those markets. Really, the unserved markets would be these rural communities. So I think that's one possible solution.
Richard Geddes, associate professor from Cornell, but also adjunct scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.